Let's look at the International Monetary Fund, or as it's often called for short, the IMF. The IMF was planned by the United States and Great Britain during World War II, and it started immediately in the post-war era. The original goal of the IMF was something quite different from what it does today. Under the so-called Bretton Woods system of the post-war economic order, the major economic powers in the world were tied together by fixed exchange rates, and the role of the IMF was to oversee and administer those fixed exchange rates and make sure that countries were able to keep their commitments. The Bretton Woods fixed exchange rate system ended in the 1970s, and over time the roles of the IMF have evolved. The IMF still assists financially troubled nations, but very often it has nothing to do with the country having a fixed or floating exchange rate. The IMF has the power to lend money to nations in order to improve their financial prospects. One thing the IMF does is simply to oversee and study the global economy and issue proclamations about what is going wrong, what is going right, and what could be done better. The IMF has a fair amount of influence in this regard. The most significant and also the most controversial role of the IMF has to do with its programs of conditional assistance. When the IMF lends money to countries, it typically insists that those countries change their economic policies in some very particular ways. The IMF does not require collateral for its loans, but it does require a new and different approach to economic policy. The conditional assistance typically requires some kind of move toward a balanced budget or a sounder fiscal position, and it also requires some kind of liberalization of the underlying economy. When it comes to the underlying fiscal position, typically the IMF will require that countries do something to cut government spending, and also perhaps that countries in some way raise taxes. When it comes to liberalizing the economy, the IMF may typically require greater openness toward foreign investment, freer trade, less regulation of business, and lower levels of corruption. Of course, the countries receiving IMF money can only satisfy these demands to varying degrees, depending upon both their willingness and their own internal politics. But at some point, the IMF will say, if you don't institute something like these policies, we will stop lending you money. Two of the classic cases of IMF conditional assistance are Argentina and Indonesia. Sub-Saharan African nations are very poor, but often they have less to do with the IMF because they tend to have lower levels of indebtedness. You can think about the governance of the IMF at a few different levels. First, there is a managing director. By convention, that individual is typically chosen from a European Union nation. Second, there are 24 executive directors who serve a board-like role, but the most fundamental source of governance has to do with the individual country quotas. The country quotas are determined by a formula, and they are the ultimate source of voting rights within the IMF. The formula has to do with how large an economy is of a country and how open that economy is, and overall, the country quotas have allocated quite a bit of influence in the IMF to the United States, the European Union, and Japan. For instance, the country quota of the United States, it's somewhat above 17%, and the country quotas of the European Union nations taken together are slightly below 40%. So if you take just the United States and the EU together, that's about 57% right there. For purposes of contrast, under the current system, the country quota for China is in the neighborhood of 6%. This has proven controversial, and as you can imagine, there are frequent calls to alter or somehow change the quota system so that developing nations have more influence within the IMF. There are a few different ways conceptually to try to think about what it is the IMF is actually doing with conditional assistance and its other policies. One way to think about it is to consider cases where a lot of countries in the world simply have very bad policies. Of course, that's likely to be the case if these countries are getting in financial trouble, and maybe they simply need a spur to institute better policies, and sometimes the IMF does that. Another possibility is that often a country's leaders or a lot of people or interest groups in a country know what should be done, but they can't quite make it happen politically, and when the IMF comes along and demands those policies, it gives them a kind of cover where they can say, I'm sorry, it's not my fault, the IMF is making me do this, even though it's something they have wanted to do all along or knew was necessary. Critics will more likely charge that the IMF is forcing developing nations or nations in trouble to institute policies which are more in the interests of wealthy nations. So the IMF, in this view, is forcing nations to internalize a lot of the costs of their own policy mistakes. So, for instance, a country might end up cutting its expenditures on education or on healthcare to make sure it moves toward a balanced budget. And this does, in fact, make sure that the country's problems don't spill over into the broader global economy, but it may not actually be better for a lot of the individuals living in that country. In this view, the IMF is a kind of tool of a power-based global economic order, and sometimes it does some good, but a lot of times it does some bad, and precisely because it's controlled by the wealthier nations, it tends to push for policies in the interests of the wealthier nations. In my personal view, there's some truth to all of these hypotheses. The roles and functions of the IMF are still evolving over time. If you pick a year like 2006, when the global economy appeared to be doing very well, the IMF actually wasn't up to very much. Right now, as of 2012, the IMF has been quite active, and it is taking on a growing role in Europe with the euro crisis. This is somewhat of a deviation from the IMF's traditional role, which postulated a set of wealthier nations who were backing the IMF, and then a series of poorer nations who needed IMF aid. All of a sudden, it seems that a lot of the nations in the European Union may, in fact, be requiring IMF aid. We're in this funny situation where the major backers of the IMF, the European nations, are in fact using it to bail out their own project, namely the Eurozone. One way to read more about the IMF is simply to Google, of course, International Monetary Fund. But often one gets a better sense of what's going on by reading about the IMF in the news today. And to do that, go to newsgoogle.com and in the search box enter International Monetary Fund and see what's going on right now.